from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide episodes 5 days a week. I'm so used to saying 3 days a week. Daily episodes talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple and accessible to all. A little bit about my baseball background. I'm a FanGraphs fantasy contributor and a lifelong diehard Giants fan. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about a little bit of roster movement. The Giants have added somebody to their 60-man player pool. There's a little bit of a 40-man mystery going on right now. And there's also a couple of players with mysterious absences from camp. And we have a couple of updates about that as well. So in addition to that, we're going to look at some of the FanGraphs positional power rankings. It's a series that they're doing right now on FanGraphs.com, where they're going position by position, ranking each team, how they stack up at the various positions. And it's not just based on who's the starter at those positions. It's also based on the depth the team has behind those likely starters. But first, there are two things to look at from a roster perspective. Number one, we have known for quite some time now that outfielder Billy Hamilton and left-handed relief pitcher Harleen Garcia have been absent from summer camp here, even though they are on the Giants roster. I mean, Harleen Garcia is a 40-man player. Billy Hamilton was not, except on sfgiants.com, he is listed on the 40-man. So I can only assume this is a mistake because, as far as I know, there was no announcement. I've gone twice through the transactions page on the Giants site looking for a note about Billy Hamilton being added to the 40-man roster, but I can't find it anywhere. But as far as I know, he's not on the 40-man roster, and he's not in camp despite being a non-roster invitee who was very much expected to report to this camp. And so it's not what I want to do to speculate about who the players were who were on that COVID-19 list, positive test list, but the Giants did mention they had two, quote, individuals test positive beyond Hunter Bishop, who tested positive before the intake process. But with Harleen Garcia and Billy Hamilton mysteriously absent from workouts, it was only kind of the natural thing to assume maybe one or both of those guys could be the, you know, individuals the Giants were talking about. But also, the Giants did place those two players on the injured list. Although on the Giants website right now, I'm looking and I'm only seeing Harleen Garcia as added to the injured list, but I do believe we had reports that Hamilton was placed on the 10-day injured list as well. So a little bit of a mystery for me what's going on with Billy Hamilton. And then there's this move yesterday with Jose Siri being added to the Giants' 60-man player pool. Siri is 24 years old, and he was claimed from the Mariners in March off of waivers. So Siri is a former top prospect in the Reds organization who kind of saw his stock decline dramatically over the last couple of years, but still, you know, a former top prospect, the tools are in there, and so it was a worthwhile claim for the Giants who got him for nothing. According to Maria Guardado of sfgiants.com, manager Gabe Kapler said hitting coach Donnie Ecker, who was part of Cincinnati's coaching staff last year, has had his eye on Siri for a while. Kapler said he was a guy with a high ceiling for the Reds and a prospect there with tools and athleticism and power. I think that's the general overview of Jose Siri. He's high upside, high potential. So to me, these things seem related. The fact that Billy Hamilton has yet to report and Jose Siri being a toolsy, athletic center fielder with good speed. So perhaps they envisioned Billy Hamilton in a role where he's not really like starting, but he is playing as a defensive replacement, and he is coming in for base running purposes. So Jose Siri, if you look over his minor league numbers, I mean, in 2017, he stole 46 bases and he was only caught 12 times. So an 80% success rate. And as recently as last year, he stole 26 bases and was caught 8 times. So the most recent write-up I could find on Fangraphs of Jose Siri came in December 2018 when Eric Longenhagen and Kylie McDaniel were evaluating the top Reds prospects. They had Siri as the Reds' seventh best prospect and said that he was a superb talent who can't help but take max effort swings at just about everything. His approach and early career maturity issues, which have improved but still exist, slowed his development a bit, and he only has half a season at AA despite being 23 and having played pro ball for 6 seasons. But Siri has great bat speed, power, and an innate feel for impacting the bottom of the baseball and lifting it into the air. If he weren't so aggressive, he appeared to be under a mandate to see more pitches in 2018. He'd be an easy plus future hit, plus future power, center field prospect in the middle of our top 100. But the volatility created by the impatience combined with Siri's noticeably thicker 2018 frame has created apprehension. His upside is huge, but so is the risk. Ultimately, he shares many traits with Phillies outfielder Nick Williams, though Siri's a better defender by a wide margin. And like Williams, Siri might just be such an amazing offensive talent that he'll be fine eventually despite his issues and several developmental bumps in the road. So that's kind of high praise. I mean, this is the type of guy that the Giants should be taking a shot on, at least with a waiver claim and seeing what happens, seeing if they can get their hands on him, fix the hit tool issues, the aggressive approach, see if they can get him to be a little more selective. And then basically the write-up on Siri is that the sky's the limit thanks to the, you know, plus raw power, plus speed, fact that he's a center fielder, good arm by their accounts. But worth keeping in mind, that is a 1.5-year-old scouting report. So anyway, it's kind of exciting, I guess, that he's been added to the 60-man pool. To me, like, new players are exciting, especially now under Farhan Zaidi, because they're targeting certain types of players that I think have more likelihood of impacting the major league team. And so the fact that he's been added to the player pool and the fact that he is already on the 40-man roster tells me that suddenly Jose Siri has a pretty decent shot of making that opening day roster. And worth repeating, I think this has a lot to do with the absence so far of Billy Hamilton in camp. So I went this whole time and failed to mention kind of what I thought was the main thing I was going to say, which is that Harleen Garcia is back and the Giants are expected to add him to their player pool today and that he's going to report to camp. I'm not sure if he was already in the player pool but just didn't show up yet. Whatever the case may be, he's going to be back today. And that's a big deal and a good thing because Harleen Garcia has been very impressive ever since the Giants claimed him. He was doing extremely well in spring. He's just 27 years old. And I think the Giants have big plans for him as a lefty reliever out of the pen who can neutralize right-handed hitters as well as left-handed hitters, which is a big deal this year because we still will have the three-batter minimum rule in 2020, despite the weird shortened season. And like so many other Farhan Zaidi acquisitions, Harleen Garcia, the value that he brings is also in the fact that he has several years of team control remaining. If he does well, the Giants can keep him for many years. So it's good to see him back. The Giants also have Tony Watson, Wandy Peralta, another Farhan claim who has many years of team control should the Giants elect to keep him, and some starting pitcher types as lefty options in their bullpen. So anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the Fangraphs position player rankings and see where the Giants fall on some of these lists. And I'm going to talk a little bit about why I'm normally like so all about projections and I'm certainly all about Fangraphs, but this is a year where I just don't really think that these projections should be taken as the end-all be-all for thinking about what the Giants are going to do in 2020, and I'm going to explain why next. But first, okay, as promised here in the second half of the show, we're going to look at some of these FanGraphs position player rankings, and I'm also going to talk about why this year, unlike any other prior year that I've been covering the Giants, I think that we can take the projections for this team with a grain of salt. So I'm just going to start there because I don't necessarily want to apply it to each individual depth chart for the Giants at the given positions. But I just want to make the point about projections. I've said before that I was skeptical about some of them for the Giants because they weren't necessarily accounting for all the platooning. They're not going to account for the fact that they're going to have a shorter leash with pitchers than they have in the past. And then, more importantly, I think, projection systems don't do a couple of things. Number one, with a guy like Mike Yastrzemski, who kind of had a breakout performance, was 20% above average by weighted runs created plus, for example. The projection systems are historically quite conservative with guys like this. Just because you do it once, they're not going to just project you to do it again or even be better than that. Looking at 2020 projections, nobody has Yastrzemski as being an above average player. So, you know, I think it's definitely possible that he will be. So that's just me saying, look, we can't just believe these projections no matter what, as if they're the final say on what these guys are going to do. And the other thing that they cannot account for, which specifically applies to the Giants in 2020, is the development-oriented coaching staff. Because guys like Brandon Crawford, I mean, I put this on Twitter. You can follow me there, at Ben Kaspic. I've seen video of Crawford taking ABs in these intra-squad games, and his stance is completely different, and his swing is different as well. Completely different setup. I heard him talking on the radio a few months back about how he kind of is all in with the coaches on revamping his swing and overhauling his swing. And sure enough, the evidence is there. I put the images on Twitter between him this year and him last year, and it's night and day. Night and day. And so if that leads to any kind of change, which you would think that it would, in some ways he's going to be the same player, but potentially in other ways he may be a completely different player if you've, you know, completely overhauled your swing. And we've seen this with multiple guys in the league in the last several years. Swing changes lead to tangible results a lot of the time. And not every time, for sure, but someone like Hunter Pence looked like he was done when he rode off into the sunset on his scooter in a Giants uniform. And then he goes and overhauls his swing, working with, I believe, the guy who helped Justin Turner become what he is after Turner was a mediocre player on the Mets. Anyway, Pence goes out and has a monster season with the Texas Rangers. And so I'm 100% sure the projections didn't see that coming for Pence in 2019. Yet there he was having a monster season with the Rangers, and it had everything to do with the swing change. And now the Giants have brought that kind of outside help who helps guys like Pence do that and brought it into their organization. And we're already seeing guys like Crawford with completely changed swings. My opinion is that we need to stop just adhering to the projections right now like they're the end-all be-all. They're great in the case of a player who hasn't really changed anything and has a bit of a track record. I think we should absolutely embrace them in that scenario. But right now, that's not what the Giants are about. And this team is made up of a lot of guys who could easily outperform their projections. They may not. I mean, I'm not promising that they will, but I'm saying it's high variance. So we need to, like, when we say, okay, these are the projections, we need to also acknowledge that it's high variance and it could easily swing pretty seriously in the other direction in terms of them doing better than those projections. So anyway, looking at the FanGraphs positional power rankings, the first position they looked at was first base, where the Giants, surprisingly, you know, they were off to a good start with this one, and then it's all downhill after that. But they rank 12th in MLB here, with Brandon Belt, Wilmer Flores, and Pablo Sandoval projected here to get some playing time at first base. And the write-up is fair, talking about how Belt used to be a really good player, but we've seen some decline, and the projections are very mediocre. And Belt is the type of guy that I would tend to, you know, lean on the projections a little bit, because as far as I know, he hasn't done anything dramatic to his swing. I also haven't seen a lot of him, but unlike Crawford, I don't think he's totally overhauled things. And so I kind of am firmly in the camp that, yeah, these projections are probably fair for Belt. 245 average, 350 on base. That's a nice on base percentage, but just, you know, 430 slugging, which is overall kind of more or less roughly league average numbers. But then he's a good defensive first baseman. So overall, a solid contributor, but nothing spectacular. But another point of contention with projections, this isn't including Darren Ruff at first base, and I think he may play there a lot. So they're not always going to appropriately allocate the playing time as will actually happen. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We'll keep going through these positional power rankings as the days move ahead. And as we get closer to next week, which is crazy, but it's going to be the start of the baseball season, assuming we get that far, and so far so good, really, with this rollout of, you know, spring training 2.0. Giants will be playing the A's on Monday and Tuesday in televised games, so it's really close. It's kind of sneaking up on us, but I'm excited, and I can't wait to be with you every day, Monday through Friday, all throughout the season. So if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.